at quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news? I'm brought to you live.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Off the Hour, right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are 19 days into the month of May. We're broadcasting from unceded Mohawk and Anishinaabe territory. You are tuned into The Avalanche, a special presentation of CKUT's Community News Department. The Avalanche seeks to cover issues affecting those with disabilities. I'm your host, Zoe. On today's show, we have episode 100 of the Disability Visibility Podcast. All that right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. You are listening to The Avalanche, where all abilities are welcome. If you would like to get involved, you can call 514-448-4041, extension 6788, or email news@ckut.ca, or follow us on Twitter at @avalancheckut.
The alert level in your region or a neighboring region is red. To curb the spread of COVID-19, gatherings with family and friends in private homes and yards are prohibited. Travel between regions should be avoided, and traveling to yellow zones is forbidden. It's forbidden to leave your home between 9:30 p.m. and 5 a.m. Visit quebec.ca/coronavirus to learn more about the other measures in place. Follow all the rules, all the time, no exceptions. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Your census invitation has arrived in the mail. Your participation will help plan programs and services for your community. Your census, your community, your future. A message from the Government of Canada.
Welcome back to The Avalanche on CKUT 90.3 FM. Up now is episode 100 of the Disability Visibility Podcast. That's up now.
This is the Disability Visibility Podcast with your host, Alice Wong.
Hello, all you glorious creatures. Welcome to the Disability Visibility Podcast. Conversations on disability politics, culture, and media. I'm your host, Alice Wong. Today's subject is this podcast, because it's episode 100. 100! Whether this is the first time you're listening, or if you're a long-time listener, this podcast is co-audio produced by three people, including myself. Sarita Betta, Geraldine Asu, and Cheryl Green. I'm proud to work with all three of them since the podcast started in 2017. Did you hear us talk about the lack of disabled voices in radio or podcasts? Our collaborative process? And the future of this podcast? And this is a supersized episode. After the conversation, you'll hear some feedback from podcast listeners. On my website, you'll also find more, such as a downloadable list of all 100 podcast episodes you can share as a resource, and another document with responses by students from Mid Peninsula High School in San Mateo, California, who listen to this podcast in one of their classes. And now for a very important update. Friends, this is the last episode of the Disability Visibility Podcast. I'll talk about how I came to this decision in the conversation you're about to hear. I hope you will continue to subscribe, because I may still produce other audio stories in the future, just not regular podcast episodes. It has been an absolute joy to create and collaborate with so many awesome people. In addition to Sarika, Cheryl, and Geraldine, I want to thank Bikeport for creating a logo, Wheelchair Sports Camp for allowing me to use two of their songs as the theme music, and Latif McCloud for the introduction. I also want to thank the over 100 guests to have been on my podcast, to have been so generous with their time and wisdom, and for trusting their story with me. And most importantly, I want to thank you. This is not the end, but the beginning of new adventures. Thank you for being a community with me. Are you ready? For the very last time, don't let me go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Geraldine, Cheryl, and Sarika, I am so delighted to have you on this 100th episode of the Disability Visibility Podcast. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure, Alice. I can't believe it's 100th episode and the last one.
Why don't all three of you introduce yourself and just share anything you like about yourself or your background? We'll go with Geraldine first, Cheryl, then Sarika. How about that?
Sounds good. I am so excited for this conversation. Thank you, Alice, for having us on your 100th episode. So my name is Geraldine Asu. I'm an independent audio producer and consultant. I started recording stories while I was working at StoryCorps and have made stories for KLW, which I believe is the first independent radio station south of the Mississippi, the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, KPFA, and nonprofit organizations that I love, like the Center for Asian American Media. I primarily make stories that come from a place of community and social justice. And most of the stories I produce ultimately sort of come from some part of me. They're usually centered around people of color, women, and immigrant experiences. Disability has been part of my life since I was a child, most often like more adjacently, but also sometimes directly. And I really have to say that it wasn't until I met you, Alice, and became introduced to disability stories and community and culture in a really sort of open and affirming and positive and like unapologetic way, which is sort of not necessarily the way that I grew up with disability. Mm-hmm. Being introduced to that culture, like I could really start to understand how so much of the world and what I'd been taught and the things that I take for granted constantly are like these real agents of ableism. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I consider meeting you as really one of the true blessings in my life. And it's like a real privilege. Like it's my privilege to be a producer for your show. So thanks for having me aboard.
Well, Geraldine, Okay, I'm going to get misty-eyed. Thank you for that. How about you, Cheryl?
Yeah, how do I follow that? I'm Cheryl Green, one of the producers and editors on this fine, fine Disability Visibility podcast. I got my start, in the ancient days of, streaming radio. I don't know how ancient it was. I don't remember when that was either. Maybe 7-8 years ago, I had a streaming radio show, just all on the telephone, on the internet. It was these long form interviews, no editing, no music, no nothing. And I did that for a few years. And I don't remember most of my life. So I just can't really remember how it happened that I started learning about editing and switched over just to the podcast format. And my podcast currently is called Pigeonhole. It's sometimes I have interviews, but it's mostly stories, some sound design. Everything is disability focused, disability culture. I don't have any non-disabled people on the show by design. And it's very non-medical. It's very much disability culture and multifaceted. I've had some of the same guests that you've had on your show, Alice, which is very exciting. And I also produce for another podcast. I do video production, but primarily these days I've shifted and I am mostly a captioner, audio describer, and transcriptionist.
Yes, and I want to bring up that you have transcribed the majority of all 100 episodes, and that is a thing.
I think there's only one or two that I didn't do. And, in preparing for this conversation, you wanted us to think about memorable moments from the podcast. And there was one episode in particular I was thinking of. Oh, somebody said such and such. What did they say? Oh, I'll just check the transcript and I can see exactly what they said. And of course, I found a typo in that transcript. So I'm completely mortified and we need to redo the whole episode.
Thank you, Cheryl. How about you, Sarika?
Hi. Sorry, I'm nursing my son at the same time, so forgive me here with the multitasking. I'm Sarika Mehta. And Alice, I'm trying to think of when I met you, and it was over email because I think I don't remember how I came to learn about Disability Visibility Project. But I did, and I was like, so I remember sending you some of the video interviews that I had done with deaf South Asian Americans in the Washington, D.C. area, just as a collection of oral histories, like, quote unquote, for the South Asian American Digital Archive, both of which are things that I love, and And then I interviewed you, Alice, for one of my episodes of Intersections Radio, which, is now an ended podcast because there's just a lot going on right now. So I remember meeting you in person probably 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I came over to your house and you and your mom were just so sweet to me. And I was pregnant with my first son at the time, so you guys insisted on driving me back to the train, I remember. And we had tea and we were chatting and it was so lovely. I really miss you. I miss seeing you in person. And it has really, like Geraldine and Cheryl were saying, it's really been an honor to be a part of this podcast, especially, I'm not somebody who identifies as having a disability or as a disabled person. I work adjacent to the disability community in that I am a sign language interpreter by profession. This is a community that I really value. But this has been such an incredible experience. Because of COVID and everything being online and all these webinars and Zoom meetings and this, that, and the other, I've had the opportunity to interpret a lot from home, which is fantastic. No commuting, no traffic,
I think what was really fun is that earlier this year, one of my book events, you were one of the interpreters.
I was!
And that was such a nice, kind of different kind of context in which, we were kind of interacting. It was just such a delight to see your face and to see you in a professional capacity. It just, yeah, that was a fun event. So I was just, so it was an extra bonus to see you there.
It was awesome. I was over the moon that I had that opportunity to interpret for you.
Hey, Alice. Mm-hmm. I had a new documentary film premiere a week or two ago. Guess who my interpreter was at the virtual screening event?
So Geraldine, you're the last one left. I have an interpreter for you yet. You know, Alice, I think we've had this conversation a number of times and with all of your guests about putting disabled voices on the air, which is not, you know, a luxury afforded to people. You have to have a radio voice to work in radio and podcast and this, that, and the other. Mm. And people, you know, train their voices in such a way that we can't sound like ourselves anymore. And what does that mean when the whole point is storytelling and we have to sound a certain way when we're telling stories? What does that mean? It means we're not authentic is what it means. So I love the idea of people just having the ability to be themselves and tell these stories that are really poignant or, you know, give so much history of culture and understanding family and understanding why we are the way we are, why things are the way they are. And to that effect, because obviously there's like populations that cannot access something that's just that you hear, especially if you're not a native speaker of English, or if you don't hear, or maybe if your children are being very loud in the background, you know, God bless the transcripts that are, you know, a part of this, or the stories that envelop all of this in it. You know, we have to make our medium of radio and podcasting of audio accessible to everyone. And that's really one of my passion projects.
Yes, thank you for that. And, you know, when I first started at kind of doing the planning and just thinking about this podcast, and, you know, 2016, early 2017, you know, I really did want to start off with transcripts. You know, I know that's, you know, there's a lot of different issues between, you know, independent podcasters are like, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, how do I do this? But I did a lot of, you know, intentional planning and budgeting. It just, you know, I personally made a commitment to do that because it would be just incredibly silly and basically hypocritical if, you know, I did a podcast centering on to the disability community without transcripts. And I do think that, you know, Cheryl, your podcast, you know, you were one of my role models. And you were somebody that I reached out to early on, and you were just so helpful for me, like just getting started, like understanding, you know, the mechanics and the process. So I just want to, you know, give you a shout out because, you know, there have been disabled podcasters up way before this podcast, and I just kind of constantly try to learn and refine my processes. But, you know, also you were so generous with your experience and expertise. So thank you for that.
Oh, my gosh. Since it's audio only, you can't see me with my eyes closed and my cheeks flushed. Thank you, Alice. And when you were developing this podcast, you were developing it, I think, in secret, because I actually had you on my show. And this goes back to what Sarika was just saying, is that I did an episode on my show about disabled voices. So when I'm on my show, I feel like there's a disabled person on the show because I'm there, but I don't have a disabled voice. You don't hear disability in my voice. Most days, some days you do, but I usually don't record on those days. And you were the feature person in my episode about the power and beauty and wonderfulness of having just what Sarika was saying, like having authentic disabled voices on the air. And this whole time when I was interviewing you, you were already planning your podcast and I had no idea. And then you
it was just amazing. Mine came out and then yours came out and I was just blown away and so completely thrilled and happy to do anything for you anytime, Alice.
Well, I think this brings me to this another moment of gratitude because, you know, I met each of you at really, you know, different points in my life. And I'm just so thankful that the three of you agreed to be my co-audio producers when I started out in 2017 because, you know, to be honest, I was really a newbie. I really did not feel confident in editing just yet. So I felt like, okay, I've got to, you know, have a team of folks who can really support me and while I learn myself as well. You know, I want to ask all three of you, you know, do you have any particular memories you'd like to share or experiences about how we first began and anything about our collaborative process? Just to give folks a kind of, you know, behind the scenes view of the creative process. Geraldine and Cheryl and Sarika, do you want to start off? Did that order?
Yeah, I am reflecting on what Sarika and Cheryl have shared and your question, and I'm just thinking, yeah, I remember thinking about like having met you and thinking about radio and thinking about this medium, just thinking about the stories and the content of disability and how we consume that content and who we assume the audience is and what a struggle it is to really to get like a voice that sounds disabled on the air or on podcast to a really large audience. And I was really, really excited to sort of to be on that journey with you and within myself. I think hearing from you about your, I don't know, your feelings about being a newbie. I remember it brings back to me, like, I am still incredibly terrified and intimidated. And as somebody who is working on a podcast that centers around disability stories and disability culture, as a producer who does not identify as a disabled person, I'm often really, it's just often all the time, sort of these moments for reflection and change and reflection and change and working alongside you and being invited to be part of that process and part of that learning for myself with you as my mentor in a lot of ways, again, sort of has just really changed my life. And it's really just, I mean, what a privilege it is to sort of get to live this life in this way, you know, and come and be awake in this way. I also, working with you, like, I don't know if this is going to come later, but I was also reflecting on how laid back you are as a boss. I feel like I have always really, I admire that and appreciate that about you. And also there's something that I'm learning about, you know, learning about from the disability community and disability culture, sort of this, you know, this my training in go, go, go and productivity. And like, even this term, like hit the ground running, like all of those things, you know, like I have just learned so I can't even begin to describe the depths of what I am learning, continue to learn, have learned through this process.
Thank you for that. You know, I was also kind of nervous too about just, you know, being kind of the supervisor / boss. Did the fact that, you know, I pretty much knew my vision, what I wanted out of each episode, and the fact that, you know, I give each one of you notes and kind of a sense of, you know, what I would like in terms of the, you know, editing of an interview. But really, I wanted to give you, all of you, kind of that freedom to play as well, you know, kind of just enough guidance, but not like micromanaging. And I think another thing that's, you know, I was very intentional was really building in as much flexibility as possible. And, you know, this is why for some people who are listening, to people who are former guests, probably what they're like, you know, why did it take 4 months for my episode to come out? And that's because I work very much in advance. And I take my time, you know, because I'm working with, you know, audio producers. I'm, you know, making sure that I have a text transcript. I have all these little elements that I want to put together. And I have the luxury of not being a fancy-spancy kind of podcast on a network or on a radio because, you know, I have control over my schedule and my workflow. And I think that's a luxury, but it's also interesting that it's very much, you know, this sense of I don't want to always be under this pressure for myself because I don't think good work will come out of, you know, pressuring myself and pushing myself. And I think that's just something that I learned out of my own lived experience. How about you, Cheryl?
Oh, hallelujah. I remember feeling physically this wave come over me of relief and like fresh air when I found out that you were going to be doing a podcast. I love the way you do politics. I love the way you do culture. I love the way you center BIPOC communities. I mean, I'm running into a loss of words because I don't want to just make some like woke list. There are not many disability podcasts out there. There are a few, and it still is a quite white dominated scene. And there's also a lot of, you know, Read My Mind is my favorite one. And that's like Thomas Reed. It's very heavily sound designed, very produced, very slick, and really unlike any other disability podcast out there. But a lot of the other ones are kind of sometimes tend to be the long form, unedited. We're just having a conversation. And those are hard for me. I like the shorter, tighter, edited, focused thing on any topic. That's just my preferred podcast listening is stuff that's more edited, which is the style that you use. And so I like that style, but I just had a sense of what you were going to bring to podcasting based on what you'd been doing with Disability Visibility Project. And just so thrilled that you were going to just dip into this world and then to be part of it. I mean, yeah, there aren't actually words to describe what it feels like to be part of it because it just, it transcends language for me.
Oh, Cheryl, how about you, Sarita?
How am I supposed to follow the both of you? My goodness. I mean, like Geraldine was saying, I'm not a person who identifies as being disabled. And so to be asked to be a part of the community in this way is a huge honor. And the irony is you're saying that you felt like a newbie. I mean, I was walking into this like any other job where I'm terrified. I don't want to screw up. More specifically, because I just want to do my best work for you, you know, and for this vision that you had. So I think I've started out nervous just because I wanted to do this job really well. I mean, to be honest, working for your podcast is the first paid gig in audio journalism that I've ever had. I've been in the field for over 10 years, but this is the first paid job I ever had. When you work in community radio, you pretty much do whatever you want, which is great. You know, it's a labor of love. And that's what I've been doing for over 10 years. But working for somebody else, it was actually such a relief, not just financially, but because it was nice that I wasn't having to edit my own voice, my own interviews, where I'm kind of just sick of hearing my own stuff that I've already been researching. And this, you know, it was like Alice talking to another disability justice leader in a raw conversation. That was how I would describe it to people when we first started. I would say, you have to check out this podcast that I work for. I mean, you're going to hear honest, raw conversation, which oftentimes things are sugar-coated or, you know, hedged. And that didn't really happen with your conversations, which was fantastic. It actually made it really hard to edit because I'm like, no, I want to keep everything. It's all good. You know, make it a 2-hour episode, you know? And I learned so much, like I said before, despite that I've worked adjacent to this community for almost 10 years being a sign language interpreter, I learned so much and I felt embarrassed that I didn't know these things already. You know, I was learning and also like, well, why didn't I know this? Because none of us know these things until you listen to the podcast. I remember other episodes where you and your guests were talking about the fatigue of either from a disability or from the fatigue of having to explain yourselves, whether you're going into a new job or requesting accommodations, whatever the case is, there is a fatigue or I need an extension on a deadline because there's a fatigue. And it was something I might have 1% modicum of understanding because after having children, I had such a struggle in the recovery of my first delivery, such a struggle. I think I just never recovered. Then I had a miscarriage and then I had a second pregnancy or rather a third pregnancy that was so difficult and terrible. And that was the entire time I was working for you and you were so gracious and understanding. So when Geraldine and Cheryl are talking about you as a boss and how laid back and wonderful, I realized that you're another leader in this community who is saying, we are human bodies and we are not machines. And when things are not going well, we have to listen to our bodies and take things slower. And I remember feeling really bad that I couldn't meet a deadline. But all three of you, you had my back.
Yes, all three of you, though. I plan out my episodes on a spreadsheet that is shared with all three of you, and the decision to end the podcast on this 100th episode, it didn't come lightly. Earlier in 2020, as I was looking at the spreadsheet, I was like, oh my goodness, like, we're in the 90s, we're gonna reach, 100 in April of 2021, and I thought about, maybe this is a good time because I do want to personally kind of open myself up to other things and just other creative opportunities. And, I don't think this is going to be like the last piece of audio storytelling. There just won't be regular episodes. But I really want to, stay in this kind of medium. Maybe for a separate standalone series or audio plays or just do creative ways of using this medium that will be exciting. And that's what it's all about. I do hope that these episodes will have value to people in the future and, now. What are some ways that you think these episodes could be a resource for folks, just disabled and not disabled, but what are some of your imaginings of what this podcast could be for people? Sarika, do you have any ideas? And Cheryl? And then Geraldine, if you have anything to share, you don't have to respond to this question, but if you have any thoughts on that?
I'll go. As far as resources, I think that it's a literal resource. I have given this to parents who are concerned about their kids with disabilities, just listen to these conversations, I've promoted this podcast more than my own. So, it's not even you have to be disabled or you have to have a child who's disabled to understand these issues. You just have to be a person in society, but to your point, I was thinking it could be a resource in higher education, in academia. One of my closest friends is an anthropologist, and I have on countless occasions sent her this podcast saying, you should talk to your students about this issue, because unless you are taking disability studies classes, which I never have, so I don't actually know what exactly is taught. I don't know what materials are put forward, but this should not be about, it should just be a part of the whatever curricula you teach. And it could be supplementary because it's a podcast, you know, it's, or it could be required, you know, listening is mandatory. It could be, I that's where I went first when I was thinking about this, using this as a resource. There are just so many ways that we all can benefit from listening to these episodes.
Thank you for that, Sarika.
The whole life of this podcast, I have approached sharing it with people in two ways. So if there's anybody who's expressing any interest in deaf and disability topics, I tell them to come over here. And the beautiful thing is that you cover such an extremely huge range of topics that no matter what someone's interest is, there is probably an episode about it. I do a lot of presentations and public speaking, and I sort of do my blog and I have my podcast. So there's always an occasion for me to point people to it and mention the podcast and mention the people, you know, oh, and follow up more on this guest. But the other way I share it is anytime I hear somebody bringing up a topic of interest that I know you've done on the show, I'll say, well, do you know about this person who's working in that field as well? So for instance, when 87 came out, Climate Action with Kara Sherwood O'Regan, I wrote to a bunch of my friends who are documentary filmmakers working on climate crisis and environmental issues. And I said, hey, but check out this one. So I think that people feel like, well, why would I listen to Disability Visibility podcast? I do climate justice. Well, you should check out Disability Visibility podcast because you do climate justice. there's an episode on that. And I mean, I'll continue to talk about it in that same way, whether it's starting from, oh, you like deaf or disability topics, or starting from, oh, you like fashion or dance or museums or policy. you just cover the gamut. And so I've used it in workshops where, you know, we're talking about care work, mutual aid, or we're talking about art. Great. There is a snippet of an episode of Disability Visibility podcast that we're going to put the transcript up and play the audio for you. And I would like to see it continue that way. And I'm going to be making a PDF, hopefully that'll be a nice resource guide for people in and out of academia. I'm going to put all the links to the episodes and a brief log line and the names of the guests. And we're going to have that PDF, and you'll put it up on your website and we'll all share it. And it's basically like the podcast page of the website, but expanded and downloadable and screen reader accessible. And so hopefully that will facilitate more people continuing to share it and checking out entire episodes or combing them for those snippets and bits of wisdom that the support work people are already interested in.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cheryl. I'm just really excited to upload that document because, you know, we do want to make this as easy and accessible and just, you know, get it out there in all kinds of different formats. And, you know, what's really exciting about podcasting or just anything that's, you know, posted online is that we really don't know where it'll go, who it'll reach. And that's exciting that there's this infinite potential out there that someday somebody might discover an episode 5-10 years down the line and it just might spark something in them. And that to me is really, you know, what it's all about. It's just putting something out there in the world for everyone. Any thoughts, Geraldine?
Yeah, I think so much of my experience with this project and with this podcast is it's really as an able-bodied person. And when I'm reacting to an episode or I am learning something, a lot of it comes from my able-bodied experience of the world. And in that way, like, I think that, of course, like there is so much to be learned and so much to be gained from this podcast, not just sort of personally, but, you know, in a real, obviously in a real material and real stakes way, right? Like when we're thinking about natural disaster preparedness, like we need to be thinking about our disabled neighbors and community members. When we're thinking about climate change, we need to be thinking about our disabled community members. Like it's just in a real fundamental way, it's a real resource for people to learn from and to for people to really consider and listen to, if not identify with and feel support and camaraderie with. And I was just trying to imagine a, like some kind of future where, I don't know, people are like, can you imagine? Can you believe that that's the way it used to be? Can you believe that, like, you know, when there was a wildfire, like they didn't think of these things? Like, thank God it's not like this now. That would be amazing.
Yeah, and in a way, it's, you know, chapter 8, this moment in time, you know, so that's, hopefully this is something that will be part of history. That's an easy side too. You know, I want to be mindful of the time, and I want to end with opening it up to you all in terms of what questions you have for me and any kind of tea you want to spill about me. Feel free to just let loose and to let the listeners know. So anybody who has any questions for me, go for it, because this is your time.
I love this part. I don't know if I have any questions, but I do want to spill the tea that Alice is one of the best bosses or supervisors that I've ever worked with. If you out there listening are looking for somebody to feel really human with, Alice is your person.
Second that.
But also Alice is your cat. So, I mean, we're stuck here, right? Spilling tea is not usually like, let me tell you more excellent things about this person. But I have no tea to spill in the traditional sense of spilling tea. I mean, the thing that that I remember is I get very, very scared and nervous when I meet people for the first time. But you're so down to earth, and I quickly got over being terrified about meeting you. But I don't know how long it was into the working relationship that you started signing your emails to me with meows and mules and other cat noises. Or maybe I started. I don't know who started it, but it's been going on for several years. And I just love it. You're so not intimidating, but having this work relationship that's got very healthy, very good boundaries, but then signing the emails with meow for now, it's the best.
I have also noticed the cat thing with you guys. and I love it. I don't think I have tea to spill. I just, like I was saying in the beginning, when I met you, Alice, in person, and I was pregnant with my first one, and you guys were really very kind, especially the part where I was walking around San Francisco, which is not a flat place, but going to your house from the BART was flat or downhill, one of the two. It was an appropriate level of incline. You know, I'm from the Midwest. All I know is like 1 foot is an incline for me. This is not about the podcast, but Alice was a guest on the United Shades America with W. Kamau Bell. And when they did an episode on disability history, and I think somebody made it into a GIF or a meme or something, but Alice was talking about able-bodied actors portraying disabled characters, and like all the time, you know, like it's, and then they win Oscars for it. It's a formula. And so Alice said something like, so suck it, Hollywood. And it just like, if you ever want to know Alice in one sentence, that, and I think, and another presentation, somebody asked you, maybe it was about picking battles or something, but you're like, I have no fucks to give.
Eat more pie, eat more cookies.
Not have fucks either.
Well, you know, I think everything that's worth doing, you know, we should try to have as much humor and pleasure and joy. You know, I think that's kind of one of the things about this podcast. It's just been such a gift, you know, to me, but also a gift to one another and to the world. I feel like that's really been the big thing. Maybe we should just end on that note, just a note of abundance and gratitude. This podcast would not exist. It would not be what it is without the three of you. So I just make this very clear. This has been a partnership, and, you know, I think this is really something that I want everyone to know, that this has been a real creative collaboration. And I think that's where the best things come out of, right? Just this magic. You know, thank you all for being with me on this journey.
Thank you, Alice.
Thank you, Alice.
Thank you, Alice.
Meow, Cheryl.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Wasn't that a wonderful conversation? I loved it. And now on to some listener or reader feedback. First up are three audio clips sent by Jutsuya Daki, Sandy Ho, and Katie Carroll.
Happy 100th episode, Disability Visibility Project. My name is Kutsia Naki, and I host my own podcast called Down to the Struts, which is about disability design and the need to find intersectional solutions to complex problems. I want to hugely thank Alice Wong and Cheryl Green for their support as I was getting started. DVP was a huge inspiration to me. I'm so grateful to Alice and all the team involved for being trailblazers and for paving the way for other disabled creators in media and culture. So thank you so much. Congratulations. And here's to another 100 episodes.
Thank you for curating this incredible treasury of stories and conversations from disabled people. It means a lot to have been included in this collection, but also because I learned so much from every single episode that was produced. This collection became a resource that I would often refer so many students to, and it was always exciting to me to see what insights they gained because they were always different from the ones that I picked up on. And also, as someone who had always been very self-conscious about the way my voice sounds, being on the DVP podcast was really the first time that I felt confident in the way that my voice sounds and in the power that it carries. So thank you so much, Alice, for all of the work that you've put into making this absolute treasure happen.
My name is Katie Carroll, and this message is for Alice Wong and the producers of the Disability Visibility Podcast. I'm a disabled person, and I love keeping up on all of the conversations that are happening in the disability community. I'm so thankful for your podcast because every time I listen to it, I learn something new or hear from someone that I have yet to hear from, but need to. Thank you so much.
I also received a few emails and tweets. I'll read a few of them, and you can find more on my website. Here's a condensed email by Jeanne D. Bridges. When I was diagnosed with systemic lupus last year, engaging with the stories and work of individuals, projects, and organizations like the ones I found in your podcast made me with my diagnosis and body easier, along with reminding me I certainly was not alone. Here's an excerpted email by C.C. Seichner. I found the podcast through Bitch Magazine and realized as I listened that I had never before engaged with my hearing impaired identity. I feel so whole now, listening to the triumphs of so many people across the disability spectrum. I am a fashion designer, and one comment from Jade Hartman Adame, inventor of the Kilo Chop, did episode 31. There should be to my core. Don't design for the 90%. Design for the 10%. Then the 90% will follow. I have to advocate for more adaptive fashion within the industry. And one day at my own line, where all garments are designed in an inclusive way. Thank you for all that you've done. Here's an excerpt of an email by Maria Sharkey. It seems a little over the top, but disability visibility really encouraged and bolstered me to make the decision that changed my life and brought me into a career of disability rights work. And it has never ceased to engage or bolster me. Here's a tweet by Lisa Dietrich. The podcast is an amazing teaching resource. In my Cultures of Disability class, I have students explore the podcast to learn about disability events and disabled experiences. And it serves as a model for an interview project. Here's a tweet by Sarah Blahovic. When I was first discovering my disability identity, disability visibility helped me find my community. What makes it better is knowing that I am one of many for whom that is true. Here's a tweet by Karen Tani. I have learned so much from this podcast. It has informed my work on disability visual history, shaped my interactions with students, changed the kind of work that I think is exciting and valuable, and generally altered my worldview. Many thanks for all you do. Wow, thank you all so much for this feedback and the kind responses. I am just profoundly humbled by everything. This podcast is a production of the Disability Visibility Project and online community dedicated to creating, sharing, and amplifying disability media and culture. All episodes, including text transcripts, are available at disabilityvisibilityproject.com/podcast. You can also find out more about Sarika, Cheryl, and Geraldine on my website. The audio producer for this episode is me, Alice Wong. The introduction by the team at Found. The music by Winter Sports Camp. You can also support my work for $1 a month or more by going to our Patreon page at patreon.com/DVP. That's patreon.com/DVP. Thanks for listening. This is you. Thank you.
There is this thing going on.
What is called?
The news I brought to you live.
Welcome back to The Avalanche on CKUT 90.3 FM. You are just listening to Tides by Men I Trust. And that completes this episode of The Avalanche, a special edition of Off the Hour, airing every Wednesday from 5 to 6. To stay up to date with Avalanche news, check out our Twitter, at AvalancheCKUT. Thank yous are due to all those who make educational and inspirational radio here at CKUT possible. If you'd like more information on anything you heard tonight, or would like to participate or support news produced by and for the Montreal community, please contact The Avalanche at avalancekut.ca or CKUT's Community News Department at 514-448-4041, extension 6788, or email news at ckut.ca. Stay tuned for Hersey. That's up next.
Patties is on a fast break with Veggie Patty leading the charge. The pass is down deep to Goat Patty. Goat Patty passes baseline to Beef Patty. Beef Patty shoots from downtown at the buzzer, and bingo! It's in! It's in! Carob Patties wins the game and is now the world champions! The number one in Montreal. Come on down to 9550 Jean Milo in LaSalle for the best patties, roadies, jerk chicken, and more. Or call us at 438-387-4004. Carob Patties, the champions of Montreal.
KUT 90.3 FM. It's May 19th, 2021 still, and it's just after 6 o'clock. You're listening to In the Motherhood for our May 19th show. We're a monthly show about parenting, specifically from a feminist point of view. On today's show, I'm going to feature two shows that are borrowed from fellow community radio programs here in Canada. The first is Wings, and that will be talking about maternal gift stories. So it's about featuring two well-known activists who came together to tell stories from their lives about the gift economy and survival value outside the world's economic calculus, which is an interesting point of view because the women are mothers too. And we know that there's a lot of material desires from children and parents too, and it's really pushed on us. There's a big part of the marketing world, as we know, that caters directly to mothers, fathers, parents, and children of all ages. And the second part of the show is about challenging anti-Black racism in the school system. And this is from Talking Radical Radio. They're talking to the group Parents of Black Children, who are supporting parents and advocating for Black students. They're in Hamilton, Ontario, and Toronto, Ontario. So thank you for listening to In the Motherhood. My name is Robin Fadden. You can email us at inthemotherhood@ckut.ca. You can find out more about us on Facebook. It's CKUT-InTheMotherhood on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
Today on Wings. Stories about the gift economy.
Actions that we do for our communities is what makes the rest of the world run and pretend that, you know, everything is for sale. But there is this whole